that me? Oh. Psalm 40. And verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. There. No feedback. This is a psalm that David wrote. Thank you. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And the Lord will bless the public reading of His precious word. A number of years ago, there was a story on the news. It was in the newspaper. It was about a baby. I can't remember the baby's name, but it was just a child. And she somehow had pushed the top off a well and had fallen down into the well. And just as the mother had just looked away for a moment, and the child had done that. And the mother was all alone. She looked down into the well. She peered down. It was rather dark. But she could see the blonde-colored hair of this little girl on top of the water. The well wasn't very, it wasn't very in diameter. It was small. The little girl went down, she just dropped. The mother knew she couldn't just drop down. She'd probably injure the child or injure herself. So what she did, she began to crawl down the well. She put her back up against the side and her feet. And she said it just seemed like an eternity for this poor mother, seeing her little child at the bottom of the well. But she couldn't hurry, because if she hurried, she would slip and fall. So she had to take her time. And finally, she got down to the bottom of that well, and she scooped up the little one. I'm not sure if the little girl was breathing or not, but she applied the mouth-to-mouth procedure to help the child breathe again. And suddenly the child started coughing. And she had saved her little baby's life. I wonder how many people would have done that, but we know how much mothers love children, their children. Mothers would sacrifice their lives for children. And that's what she was doing. She was risking her life to save that little girl. And somehow she managed to get all the way back up that well. With a little one in her arm, and she got all the way up to the top. Nobody even knew about it until she began to tell people what happened. And then I remember it was on the CNN news, it was in the newspaper and so on, what this brave woman had done. Sometimes things that happen in life are pictures of things that we see in the Bible, just everyday things. Now we notice we read here about the psalmist David. He talked about being in a pit, didn't he? He said, I was in a horrible pit. And this little girl was in a horrible pit. That little girl couldn't help herself. And the Bible teaches that the older we get, it's like we sink further and further down into a pit of sin. You know, at first the sin seems harmless, and we start doing things, especially children growing up, you know, just to be cool and fit in, you know, with the others and so on. The sad thing is a lot of children growing up, as they become teenagers, find out that they've gotten themselves into a pit. You know, they're looking up and I used to be free of all these things. Now look what's happened to me. And there are all these sinful things in their life. And there they are. And that's what salvation's about. It's about being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ from our sins. He lifts us up out of a pit of sin. And we shall see, he does a lot more than that. Put this David's feet on a rock, he said. Not miry. Miry is like muck. Miry clay. He said, he put my feet on a rock. And he established my goings. I'm not going here and there and doing things I wish I didn't have to do and I'm sorry I did them afterward and so on. And he says also, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. That's what being saved is. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. To save us, not just from going to a terrible place. A terrible place for people, young and old, who don't want the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. There's one great sin everyone has in common in this terrible place. The Bible calls it hell. It's an awful place, and basically, everybody there has one sin in common, one great sin, and it was this. They didn't really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They were more interested, all these people were more interested in everything they could find to do down here, and fitting in with everybody, you know, and just enjoying myself. And they never, ever came by faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that's what this little message is about. This is what we call a gospel message. The word gospel means good news. It's nice to see children here this morning. And God wants you to be saved when you're young, when you're at the age you are right now, when your hearts are tender. And you're not in this great pit of sin that men and women find themselves in. He wants you to come by faith today and believe the promise of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the Bible. It's true. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. That's what God desires you to do, even this morning, is to be saved. He says, you know, I'm saved. I say, what do you mean you're saved? Well, I'm not in my sins anymore. I was in a pit of sin. I was sinking down further and further every day, but I heard the gospel. And I heard a verse, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And he saved me. Well, how did you get saved? Well, I simply turned with all my heart to him, to the truth, to righteousness. I wanted to be different than everybody else in this world. I did. Most of the people in this world that just don't think about God, maybe even use his name as a swear word. I didn't want to be like them. I wanted to be saved. And I wanted to grow up and make my life mean something. You know, I wanted to be a man of God. I wanted to be like David in the Bible and Moses and Abraham and the apostles and so on. I wanted to be like them. And I wanted to be sure of heaven. I sure didn't want to go to that place for all eternity where people go who don't want the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said in the Bible that if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if I put my trust and faith in him and believed God, that I'd be saved. Well, I just did that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, about how we're saved. As simple faith. Now, that woman, the mother, it was her love, wasn't it, that caused her to go down that well? It was her love for that baby. And it's love that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to come down all the way from heaven. Imagine the great God, the Lord Jesus. Do you know that everything we see was made by Him? Everything. Every single insect and plant and flower and bird and reptile and everything we see, He just spoke it into existence. In the book of Genesis, it says He made the sun, you know, to rule by day over the earth, and then it says, and He made the moon to rule by night. We have some light at nighttime. And then it just says this, and He made the stars also. Isn't that something? Just so you know, why this same one who was nailed to a cross and died for our sins, not only did He make everything down here, and the moon and the sun, all the billions and billions of stars, why, He made them too. He just spoke them into existence. Helps us to, when we think about this, it makes us realize what a great stoop He took. He's way up in heaven, and He came all the way down and became a baby in Bethlehem that He might grow up and become a man. And why? That He would go to the cross and allow God His Father to punish Him instead of us. Punish Him for our sins. And the Father was so pleased with His Son. His Son knew no sin. He didn't deserve punishment, but God punished Him, and God raised Him from the dead. And now God says, understand, everybody, we all have the same problem. Young people growing up, hope you understand. You have a problem in your life, and it's sin. It's like a power within. You have a desire to do things. You probably already discovered it. You have a desire to do things that aren't right. Not because that's the way we are. And as I mentioned, we sink further down in a pit of sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Not only to save us from going to that terrible place, but to deliver us from this power of sin. And I don't have to sin anymore. I don't have to. I can live a life that pleases God. I couldn't before because I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and His power, but now I do. And so as the woman saved the baby, that's a little picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners. But I have to understand, and God wants you to understand this morning, He's talking about you. You know, we're all sinners. Everyone has sinned. He's talking about you. And you need to be saved. No, your mother can't save you. Your father can't save you. Those that love you here in this place and teach you about God's love can't save you. You can't save one another. Only the Lord Jesus can save you. Excuse me. And you have to want to be saved. And that's why it's good to have you here in a place like this morning, listening to the gospel, letting God speak to your heart, and making you understand, I need to be saved. Why, I'm not sure of heaven. And I want to be sure of heaven. And that's what the purpose of the gospel is. Now, Psalm 9:15 says this, sunk down in the pit. And again, it's a pit of destruction. And there's a Psalm 69, and the psalmist said this. This was his prayer to God. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. You know, that's what's happened already in people's lives. They've heard the gospel when they were young. And God spoke to them, and they understood they needed to be saved. But you know what they did? They didn't get saved. They thought they could get saved whenever they wanted to. I'll get saved later. I want to be a teenager first and enjoy all the things down here. They took a chance, you see. And you know, conviction, troubled about their sin, never came again for a lot of people. And it's like that pit has shut their mouth on them. And they don't even have a desire anymore to be saved. Somebody might say, you know, there's a gospel meeting, maybe for young people, and you want to come and hear how you can be saved. And they go, nah, I think I'm going to do something else tonight with my friends. It's almost as though they waited too long. The Lord doesn't want you to wait, you know. He wants you to be saved even today. And understand that it's very easy to get into sin, but it's very difficult to get out. There was a true story. This little girl told this story about a mouse. A little mouse, he came along and he was snooping around and he saw a garbage can. And down at the bottom of the garbage can, there were a lot of good things down there that looked good to eat for him. So he had no trouble just hopping down into that garbage can. It was high. So he ate and he ate and he ate and he had a great time. He's had a full tummy now, and I guess I'll go back and join my friends or his family. But he had a problem now. The sides of the garbage can were plastic and slippery, and he couldn't get up. He'd try and try and fall down. Try and try and fall down. And there the mouse was trapped down there. Now the mouse got what it wanted, didn't it? But what did it cost him? It cost him his freedom. He wasn't free anymore. And that's the solemn thing about life, you know. God will let people get what they want. You want that so badly? Then I'll let you. And the next thing you know, you're not free anymore. You're like a prisoner and you can't help but sin. Well, this little girl told the story, came out and saw the mouse. She liked mice. She felt sorry for that little guy. And she reached down and she gently picked it up. I don't know about you girls if you'd do that or not, but she did. She picked up that little mouse and she let him go free back in the field. It's a horrible pit, the pit of sin. Now notice, this man David's writing, and he's really bothered about where he is. See, he's talking about his life. I feel like I'm in a pit of sin, and I can't get out. There's sin in my life, and I'm not happy, and I'm not saved, and I don't know where I'm going, and I'm all mixed up, and I'm confused. And notice that how he's convicted, he's troubled. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He talks about crying unto the Lord. Well, he was what the Bible calls convicted. He was very troubled about his situation. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. To cause us to be very troubled and convicted about my position in life. I got very troubled and convicted. I was like this man, like David, talking about this experience in his life. There were sins in my life, and I couldn't stop doing them. And there were things I wanted to do. I wanted to live a certain way, and I couldn't. I was like a prisoner. And one day I came in contact with Christians. They said they were sure of heaven. Did you know you could be sure of heaven? That's what God wants you to be. You know, I've seen people die in hospitals that weren't sure of heaven. They weren't saved. And they were so terrified. And they should be terrified. Anybody who's going to die without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an awful thing. They weren't sure of heaven. Why weren't they sure of heaven? Well, because they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Now they're afraid to die. Well, I came in contact with these men and women, young and old, who were Christians. And they told me they were saved. And they told me they were as sure of heaven as though they were already there. I thought, is that possible? And I listened. And we hope you're listening this morning. I saw a big sign one time, and maybe I mentioned this before, I think it was in Massachusetts, advertising something. It said there's hearing and then there's listening. You You know, we hear lots of things, but if I don't listen, I'm not going to get it. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him, let her hear. Listen to my voice. Because if I don't listen and let God speak to my heart, then I'm never going to understand the gospel. And God wants you to listen. Well, he was very convicted. And some people in their lives get convicted and troubled about their life. And God speaks to them and calls them to be saved. And they don't do anything about it. And some people think, well, I'll feel this way again. I'll feel this way again. But that's not so. I may never feel that way again. There are people right now I know who are troubled about their sin. And if they don't do something about it, they might not be troubled again in their life. They might just go on living and pretending, just like a life of pretend, that I'm not going to die, that there is no eternity. And then the terrible, terrible tragedy of somebody dying without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There was a lady, and she was overheard talking to a friend at a railway station. She was telling this other lady, neither one of them were Christians. Neither one of them had any interest in the Bible or prayer or pleasing God in their life. And she was talking about her friend who had been coming to some gospel meetings, and she was telling her, my goodness, she was troubled. Oh, she'd stay after the meeting and she'd talk to one of the men or the women about being saved. She'd talk to the preacher about being saved. And then she said this, but thankfully, she's over it now. Now that's sad. She's over it now. She's not troubled anymore. I don't know if that lady ever got convicted again about her being in a pit of sin. But that's the work of God, you know, to cause us to understand that's where we are. And now, what was it? What was it that caused that woman to go down and save her little baby? Boy, it was love, wasn't it? It was compassion. What was it that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to come down from heaven? Because he loves. He doesn't want to take anything away from you, you know. He's not in the business of making people unhappy. No, he makes people happy. And true happiness and joy begins with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I know my sins are forgiven. And when I finally turn with all my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts a joy right inside of me that nobody can take away. A wonderful joy. You see people in the world. Oh, you can see some happy people today. But you know, they might not be so happy tomorrow. Happiness depends on what's happening, doesn't it? Things are happening good in my life. Things are going pretty good in my life. I'm happy. And then things start to change a little bit. And now I'm not happy anymore. So everything depends on what's happening in my life. But that's not what God has. God has something so far better. It's called joy. And he puts that joy right down, deep inside the heart of the one who trusts in him. He loves people. That's why he came. David's down in this pit and he's crying. And what did he say? He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And if you'd cry out in your heart, even as you sit in your seat today, you can be saved. He's listening. He's standing outside your heart's door. He's waiting for you. And boys and girls, you know, you can get through life without the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's what you want to do, well, he'll let you do it. Do understand that. And you can get through life without Christ. But you cannot enter heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ, without knowing him as your Savior, without surrendering your life to him, wanting to be different, wanting to be somebody who has love in their heart for the truth and living right, and the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I hope and trust that God will impress that upon your heart. The compassion. And then, these are all just words that start with C. Sometimes it's easier to remember something. His condition, his conviction, the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And then the completion. This is something that was completed. David says, he brought me up out of an horrible pit in my sins, out of the miry clay. Imagine miry clay sinking down like quicksand, kind of sinking down. What a contrast. He says, now, here's something else that he did for me. He set my feet upon a rock. That's quite a difference now, isn't it? Upon a huge rock, solid, out of sinking down in clay and sin. He lifts me up and he sets my feet upon a rock, solid ground. I'm not going to sink anymore in sin. I've been delivered from my sin. And he says, he established my goings. That means he's changed my life. He changes our lives from the inside out. And after I'm saved, suddenly I find that I don't really enjoy doing the things I used to do. And I don't see my friends in the same way anymore. Now I understand. They aren't even interested in being saved. They know all about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, and it doesn't mean anything to them. They aren't even interested. It's like to come to a meeting and hear about the love of God and sending His Son, and they might even laugh. Say, no, we're going to have some fun tonight. Now that is sad. And after you're saved, you'll see the difference. There are those, the majority of those in the world, they don't have any desire for the Lord Jesus. And there you are, you're now saved. Why? And you love the Lord Jesus. You want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll want to. You won't be the same person you are now. Little boy went into the store, and he had 3 shillings. That's like, I guess, 3 maybe nickels. This is over in England a long time ago. And he said to the storekeeper, I want to buy something for my mother. He said, what, is it her birthday? And he said, no, it's not her birthday. Is your mother sick? No, she's not sick. Well, why do you want to spend 3 shillings on a birthday for your mother? He said, just because I love her, and I want to show her that I love her. Oh, she's so good to me. Well, he said, tell you what, this is a big store, all kinds of things in here. This is just a suggestion. Why don't you spend 1 shilling? You can buy nice gifts in here for 1 shilling. Buy 1 thing with 1 shilling, and you can keep the other 2 for yourself. You know what he said? He said, no, I want to spend it all on her. I want to spend everything I've got on my mother, all 3 shillings. And that's what he did. And that's what it's like after a person is saved. It's difficult to see that before you come to Christ, but that's how you'll feel after you trust Christ. I want to give everything to Him. He becomes a number one person in your life. You love Him. And being a Christian isn't keeping rules. I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to do that. And these are the things I'm supposed to do. That's not being a Christian. It's all about love. He loved me. He saved me from my sins. Now what can I do to show Him that I love Him? I want to obey Him. So there's the completion. He brought me up. See, He did that. That's what David is saying in this psalm. It's all done. I was in a pit. I looked up and I knew I couldn't get out myself. Just like the little girl, just like the mouse in the garbage can. He knew I can't get out of this pit myself. He looked up. He cried unto the Lord. And he says, he brought me up. I had nothing to do with it. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and He established my goings. And that's complete deliverance, isn't it? You're not in the pit anymore. There you are. You know how you're saved? Why, you have to have a desire to be saved. You have to have a desire to live right. It's easy to fit in with the world, isn't it?
Sure.
See, anybody can go along with how the world's going. Ah, but it takes something different, doesn't it, inside of you to say, no, no. I know where all those people are going at the end of their life, and I don't want to go there. No. There's a song we sing. It mentions the word hell in it, but we want you to understand there's a real place for people who don't want the Lord Jesus. And it just says this, my old companions, my old friends, fare thee well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. In heaven I will go. I'm going with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's taking God at his word. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God says, I am saved. That's how we're saved. I believe God. I have a desire to be saved. I say, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, the Lord Jesus died for me. He took my place on the cross. He died for sinners. He died for me. And he said, you put your trust in me. You thank me in your heart for dying for you. And you take me at my word, my promise. You believe on me, you're saved. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You think you could believe God? You think you could trust him? Well, you know you can. That's how I know I'm saved. I believe, I trust with all my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And Acts 16:31 says, I'm unsaved. I'm already saved. I'm out of the pit. I'm just waiting to go to heaven. Whether I die and leave my body or whether the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Two little girls were talking. One said, I have 5 pennies, and the other said, I have 10 pennies. They had their hands out like this with pennies in them. First little girl looked. Gee, you don't have 10 pennies. I just counted them in your hand. You've got 5, the same as me. Listen to what she said. Oh, I know you only see 5 pennies in my hand, but my father, before he left for work this morning, promised that when he comes home, he's going to give me 5 more pennies. So I believe I already have the 10 pennies. Isn't that faith? That's faith. That's trust. She trusted her father. She took her father at his word. If he said he was going to do it, he will do it. So I'll tell you right now, I have 10 pennies, even though you can't see the other 5. I see them by faith. They're already in my hand. And that's what it's like to be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says I'm saved. Didn't say you feel saved. Oh, the wonderful feeling is being a Christian. Some people think, well, I have to have this great feeling. Well, actually, no, you don't. Just have a longing in your heart to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's the completion. And then the confession. Confession is you tell others about your salvation. What was David doing? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Singing. Hear lots of music in the world today, don't we? Yes, we do. Everywhere we go, we hear people singing. Singing about nothing, really. Really singing about nothing. Everything's going to pass away in this world. But God says, I'm going to give you a new song. A new song. Even praise unto me. And that's something. That's reality. That's something real. I sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in closing, there was a boy named Tom. He's an ordinary boy, but he had an extraordinary day. He sat in a meeting just like this, and he heard how much God loved him, how Christ died for his sins on the cross. And you know what he said in his heart? I don't know about my friends, but it's Christ for me. And he got saved. And he loved to sing, but he didn't like to sing in public because he didn't think he was a very good singer. But he'd whistle. He was a good whistler. And he sold newspapers on a street corner. And one day, he's standing there, and he's waiting for people to come by and offer them a newspaper, and he's whistling, "Jesus Loves Me." Well, this man came down the street. This man's life was a mess. He was in the pit of sin. He'd just come from some place where they were drinking, and he wasn't really in his right mind, and he hardly walked straight, you know, and he comes down the street, and he hears this boy whistling. And he says, "I think I know that song." And so he goes over and says, "Boy, what's that song you're whistling?" Well, young Tom was delighted to tell him. He liked to confess, like tell others, "I know Jesus is my Savior." He said, "Well, it's Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." And the man put his head down. He said, "Well, he might love you. I'm sure he doesn't love an old drunk like me." Tom looked up at him and said, "You know something, sir? He does." He said, "Really?" "Yes." He said, "Can I prove it to you?" "You can prove it to me?" "Yes," he said, "I can prove it to you." Now, two blocks around, just up the street, there was a mission station where they take people in sometimes like this man, whose life was all in a mess, and they're in a pit of sin, and they're in bondage to sin. And so he brought him in, introduced him, and it was a mission. And they gave him a bath. They gave him clean clothes. They gave him a nice meal. And then he sat and listened. I trust you've been listening this morning. He listened. "God loves me. He did that for me." And you know, that man was saved. And he went back to see that young boy, Tom, and he thanked him so much. See, Tom had a new song in his mouth, didn't he? "Jesus loves me, this I know." Boy, he wasn't ashamed to whistle that out in the street. He loved to tell people about the Savior. And you will too. And the gospel is a love story. That's what it's all about. But again, you know, the Lord's not going to force you into his family. You've got to want to come. May God bless you, one and all, with his salvation. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we draw near to thee and thank thee for this little time we've had to consider him once again, thy wonderful Son, who came down to save sinners. Father, bless thy word, we pray, to the hearts of all here this morning. Meet the need, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Free.